Welcome to Lost in the Woods Fairy Tales. I'm your host, Autumn Woods, and I'm so excited you're here. We're continuing our adventures in Rise Above This, tales of women who seem to be swallowed up by life, unable to rescue themselves from circumstances beyond their control, until they are given the chance to learn from their mistakes and find the courage to rise above the past, seizing new life with both hands. Last time, we talked about the importance of learning discernment, especially if you've grown up sheltered with little experience in spiritual warfare. But what happens when you've been born in the thick of battle, with no say over the darkness plaguing your life, and have to claw your way out? To find the answer, we climb into a tower on a rope of golden hair in the Brothers Grimm's Rapunzel. We're taken on the journey with our heroine as she's sold into darkness before birth, imprisoned through manipulation and fear, meets hope face to face, and finds the courage to break free from the enemy's hold on her life. So, let's get lost as we read the story of Rapunzel. There was once a man and a woman who had long in vain wished for a child. At length, the woman hoped that God was about to grant her desire. These people had a little window at the back of their house from which a splendid garden could be seen, which was full of the most beautiful flowers and herbs. It was, however, surrounded by a high wall, and no one dared to go into it because it belonged to an enchantress named Dame Gothel, who had great power and was dreaded by all the world. One day, the woman was standing by this window and looking down into the garden, when she saw a bed which was planted with the most beautiful rampion, Rapunzel, and it looked so fresh and green that she longed for it, and had the greatest desire to eat some. This desire increased every day, and as she knew that she could not get any of it, she quite pined away, and looked pale and miserable. Then her husband was alarmed and asked, "What ails you, dear wife?"
"Oh," she replied, "if I can't get some of the rampion which is in the garden behind our house, I shall die."
The man, who loved her, thought, "Sooner than let your wife die, bring her some of the rampion yourself. Let it cost you what it will." In the twilight of the evening, he clambered down over the wall into the garden of the enchantress, hastily clutched a handful of rampion, and took it to his wife. She at once made herself a salad of it, and ate it with much delight. She, however, liked it so very much, that the next day she longed for it three times as much as before. If he was to have any rest, her husband must once more descend into the garden. In the gloom of the evening, therefore, he let himself down again, but when he had clambered down the wall, he was terribly afraid, for he saw the enchantress standing before him. "How can you dare," she said with an angry look, "to descend into my garden and steal my rampion like a thief? You shall suffer for it."
"Oh," answered he, "let mercy take the place of justice. I only made up my mind to do it out of necessity. My wife saw your rampion from the window and felt such a longing for it that she would have died if she had not got some to eat."
Then the enchantress allowed her anger to be softened, and said to him, "If the case be as you say, I will allow you to take away with you as much rampion as you will. Only I make one condition. You must give me the child which your wife will bring into the world. It shall be well treated, and I will care for it like a mother." The man, in his terror, consented to everything, and when the woman gave birth, the enchantress appeared at once, gave the child the name of Rapunzel, and took it away with her. Rapunzel grew into the most beautiful child beneath the sun. When she was 12 years old, the enchantress shut her into a tower, which lay in a forest, and had neither stairs nor door, but quite at the top was a little window. When the enchantress wanted to go in, she placed herself beneath it and cried, "Rapunzel! Rapunzel, let down your hair to me!" Rapunzel had magnificent long hair, fine as spun gold,
and when she heard the voice of the enchantress, she unfastened her braided tresses, wound them round one of the hooks of the window above, and then the hair fell 20 ells down, and the enchantress climbed up by it. After a year or two, it came to pass that the king's son rode through the forest and went by the tower. Then he heard a song which was so charming that he stood still and listened. This was Rapunzel, who in her solitude passed her time in letting her sweet voice resound. The king's son wanted to climb up to her and looked for the door of the tower, but there was none to be found. He rode home, but the singing had so deeply touched his heart that every day he went out into the forest and listened to it. Once, when he was thus standing behind a tree, he saw that an enchantress came there, and he heard how she cried, "Rapunzel! Rapunzel! Let down your hair!" Then Rapunzel let down the braids of her hair, and the enchantress climbed up to her. "If that is the ladder by which one mounts, I will at once try my fortune," said he. And the next day, when it began to grow dark, he went to the tower and cried, "Rapunzel! Rapunzel! Let down your hair!" Immediately, the hair fell down, and the king's son climbed up. At first, Rapunzel was terribly frightened when a man such as her eyes had never yet beheld came to her. But the king's son began to talk to her quite like a friend, and told her that his heart had been so stirred that it had let him have no rest, and he had been forced to see her. Then Rapunzel lost her fear, and when he asked her if she would take him for her husband, and she saw that he was young and handsome, she thought, "He will love me more than old Dame Gothel does." And she said yes, and laid her hand in his. She said, "I will willingly go away with you, but I do not know how to get down. Bring with you a skein of silk every time that you come, and I will weave a ladder with it. And when that is ready, I will descend, and you will take me on your horse." They agreed that until that time, he should come to her every evening, for the old woman came by day. The enchantress remarked nothing of this, until once Rapunzel said to her, "Tell me, Dame Gothel, how it happens that you are so much heavier for me to draw up than the young king's son. He is with me in hardly a minute."
"You wicked child," cried the enchantress. "What do I hear you say? I thought I had separated you from all the world, and yet you have deceived me." In her anger, she clutched Rapunzel's beautiful tresses, wrapped them twice round her left hand, seized a pair of scissors with the right, and snip-snap, they were cut off, and the lovely braids lay on the ground. And she was so pitiless that she took poor Rapunzel into a desert where she had to live in great grief and misery. On the same day that she cast out Rapunzel, the enchantress fastened the braids of hair, which she had kept, onto the hook of the window. And in the evening, when the king's son came and cried, "Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your hair," she let the hair down. The king's son ascended, but he did not find his dearest Rapunzel above, but the enchantress, who gazed at him with wicked and venomous looks. "Aha!" she cried mockingly. "You would fetch your dearest, but the beautiful bird sits no longer singing in the nest. The cat has got it, and will scratch out your eyes as well. Rapunzel is lost to you. You will never see her more." The king's son was beside himself with pain, and in his despair, he leapt down from the tower. He escaped with his life, but the thorns into which he fell pierced his eyes. Then he wandered quite blind about the forest, ate nothing but roots and berries, and did nothing but lament and weep over the loss of his dearest wife. Thus he roamed about in misery for some years, and at length came to the desert, where Rapunzel, with the twins to which she had given birth, a boy and a girl, lived in wretchedness. He heard a voice, and it seemed so familiar to him that he went towards it, and when he approached, Rapunzel knew him and embraced him and wept. Two of her tears wetted his eyes, and they grew clear again, and he could see with them as before. He led her to his kingdom, where he was joyfully received,
and they lived for a long time afterwards, happy and contented. The end. I always wanted to know what happens to the witch after all this. At least two versions have her meet a horrific death, either falling from the tower or dying of hardening of the heart. Although it is strange to read a Grimm story where the villain doesn't get their comeuppance, I think the reason for leaving out that part of the tale might be just as powerful. We never hear from her again, because Dame Gothel no longer has a hold on Rapunzel's life. It is immaterial whether she lives or dies, because the curse is broken. Rapunzel is free. Don't wander away from the campfire. We're about to shed some light on the incredible treasure hidden in this story after a brief message. We get bombarded with a lot of messages throughout the day. Some good, some frustrating, and some that creep in and wear away at our souls. Sometimes it's hard to just sit with God in the stillness and truly hear what His heart is for us. Having a good devotional to encourage you to draw nearer to the one who loves you most and spend time in His Word can make all the difference in the world. Author and poet C. Melita Webb is passionate about celebrating God's goodness and encouraging you to speak life and love over every person and circumstance. In her sixth poetry volume, Prayers, Peace, and Praise, Guidance for Prayer Through Poetry, she beautifully alternates scriptures with prayers and poems to help you focus your attention on God and listen for direction from His Holy Spirit. I had the honor of recording the audio version of Prayers, Peace, and Praise, and it absolutely touched my heart. Many of the prayers, poems, and essays expressed the things weighing on me at the time and gave me the chance to bring those things to God. Even the scriptures Webb includes were exactly the words of encouragement I needed. If you need life spoken over you today, follow the link in the show notes to pick up your copy of Prayers, Peace, and Praise, Guidance for Prayer Through Poetry, available in print, Kindle, and audiobook formats. All right, back to the analysis. We begin with Rapunzel's parents. Like many fairy tale couples, they are anxious to have their first child. After the mother happily discovers that she is expecting, cravings set in, but not the kind we'd expect. Every day, she covetously stares out her window into the neighbor's yard, eyeing the rampion, or Rapunzels, growing in the garden below, her every waking thought centered on eating them. We are warned very quickly that this lush garden belongs to Dame Gothel, a dreaded enchantress. Although we never see the woman cast a spell or commune with demons, she is extremely manipulative. Manipulation in itself is a form of witchcraft. In a matter of sentences, the mother flips from trusting God to give and sustain life inside her to lusting after sustenance from a satanic source. Ironically, by desiring the property of a manipulative woman, Rapunzel's mother becomes one herself. In her selfishness, she jeopardizes her unborn child's life as well as her own, making herself sick to death over what she cannot have, like Ahab pining over Naboth's vineyard in 1 Kings 21. She even makes her husband miserable with her intense desire, giving him no rest until he agrees to risk his life to bring her radishes. Fear of not getting what you want can turn you into a controlling exploiter. Even if someone genuinely wished to give you what you sought, there is a cheapness to the giving because you forced it to happen, bullying the person into doing what you wanted regardless of their feelings or the reality of your circumstances. In this way, manipulation is also a type of lying. It implies that the one doing it has assumed authority and responsibility over something or someone that is, in reality, beyond their control. It is a flagrant disregard of God's power and rebellion against His authority. Jehovah Jireh supplies the needs of His children according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. When we stop trusting Him completely and take matters into our own hands, that's how we get in trouble. That's how we end up creating Ishmaels to torment our promised Isaacs. I never understood why the husband didn't go to the market for radishes instead of hopping over the witch's wall. Were her radishes the only ones in town? Was the couple too broke to afford to buy any? One filmed version of the story shows the enchantress casting a spell on the mother to make her crave the radishes, indicating that Gothel had planned to steal the baby from day one. I think that's pretty plausible. Whatever the reason, Rapunzel's father fearfully burgles the witch's garden. Twice. But the second time, he bungles it. When he hits the ground, the enchantress is already waiting for him. Remember, the two is the number of discernment and judgment. The fact that the father cannot complete the second theft reinforces his lack of good judgment. Not only is he pulling resources from someone in league with the enemy, he's also committing a crime to do it. Not smart. Enraged that he would dare to steal from her, Dame Gothel prepares to take revenge on the man. But he stops her with his pleas for mercy. He did it for love. His wife would have died without the witch's special radishes. We're told that the enchantress allows her anger to be softened, but only because she's about to make a move to get what she wants. In return for allowing the man to take as much rampion as he will to his wife, the witch demands custody of his unborn baby. Terrified, the man agrees, selling out his daughter to fulfill his wife's desires and save himself from Gothel's wrath. As soon as the baby is born, the enchantress appears, names the girl Rapunzel for the radishes that caused all the trouble, and whisks her away from her family. Radishes themselves are highly beneficial. Rich in alkaline, they regulate your blood by assisting in the maintenance of a healthy pH, potential of hydrogen, balance. In addition, consuming radishes helps prevent heart and kidney disease, kidney stones, and calcium buildup. It also reduces inflammation, lowers the risk of diabetes and vitamin D deficiency, maintains strong bones, and reduces back pain. DrAxe.com. That would explain the natural phenomena behind the mother's yen for radishes. The Greek root of radish, raphanos, means easily reared. Taking all of this into account, Rapunzel's name indicates that she is meant to be strong and healthy, easily brought up, and highly beneficial to those around her because of her healing qualities. If you think the enemy is going to let someone like that survive and thrive without a fight, you are sadly mistaken. Instead of being allowed to grow up in a loving home with room to breathe and the freedom to make her own decisions, Rapunzel is diminished, imprisoned by a woman in league with the kingdom of darkness who parents through fear rather than love. In case you're wondering, the devil doesn't want you to succeed. You were created with unique abilities to glorify God and bless others. Satan is a glory hog. From the beginning, he threatened to ascend the throne of heaven and supplant God. You, living to be in intimate, awestruck relationship with God and exalt Him, fulfilling the purpose for which the accuser was initially created, infuriates the enemy beyond belief. In his bitterness, he will try to distract, paralyze, isolate, and wear you out to prevent you from engaging with God and the community He's placed you in. It's hard to build healthy relationships in the body of Christ when you've been cut off from everyone. Part of the way we learn about Jesus is seeing His love at work in other people. Before the battle of wills in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus told His disciples, "Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." John 13:34. We are to encourage each other, spurring one another on to love and good deeds, completing the work in Christ that our Heavenly Father planned for us to do before we were even born. Ephesians 2:10. How can we do that if we are not taught what it is to live in perfect love that casts out fear, and are instead surrounded by thick stone walls of terror and isolation? So far, no thread of love has been woven into the recurring pattern of desire, fear, and imprisonment that is the tapestry of Rapunzel's life. First, she is trapped in the womb of a biological mother who shows no compunction about potentially ending Rapunzel's existence to slake her lust for forbidden rampion. She stunts her daughter's development by refusing to take in the proper nutrients for the two of them to remain healthy and reach the birth at full strength. Fearful that she will not get her wish, the mother also verbally abuses her husband, showing a lack of respect for him by whining and wheedling, giving him no peace until he fulfills her demand. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. Proverbs 14:1. The mother's manipulations are eroding trust from her marriage and jeopardizing her daughter's life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. The cruelty of her mother's selfish words encases Rapunzel in a vessel of death. Reduced to a bargaining chip by both of her terrified parents, she will be born with the mark of rejection. No one believes that she is worth fighting for, except the enchantress, who winds up being as emotionally abusive as her biological mother. Eager to keep the child for herself and prevent her from growing up and leaving, Dame Gothel imprisons the girl in a dead womb of stone as soon as she reaches puberty, forcing her to spend most of the next 2 years in isolation. At one of the most crucially formative and tumultuous seasons of Rapunzel's life, her mental, emotional, and spiritual growth are stunted. Unable to commune with anyone but the witch, Rapunzel begins to retreat into herself for solace, becoming unreachable. This is symbolized by the lack of stairs and door in her prison cell. Rather than participating in life, she can only observe it through one window, representing her eyes, the windows of her soul. Her scope is limited to the resources, stimuli, and messages brought to her by the enchantress on their occasional visits. She is prevented from having normal interactions with the outside world, unable to do the sifting that is so necessary to sharpen her discernment. She cannot mature, decide how she will live her life, or get a firm grasp on truth, because her world is dominated and controlled by her wicked foster mother. The enemy will arrange to have others do to you what he is doing to you. John Eldridge, Waking the Dead. He doesn't want you to become a spiritual grown-up, pursuing a relationship with the Lord and discovering your godly purposes. One of the most effective ways to distract you from developing a Kingdom of Heaven mindset is to inundate you with messages from Him through the culture you live in. The more you are exposed to and trained to meet the standards of the world, the less your mind will be transformed and renewed in Christ. If you were the salt of the earth to begin with, conformity will leach the flavor out of you, rendering you useless. Matthew 5:13. If his schemes are effective enough, you will begin to do to yourself what the enemy once had to hire mercenaries to do to you. You'll isolate yourself because you feel rejected and ashamed. You'll stop reaching out to others who could help you grow. You might even distance yourself from God, thinking that you are unworthy to speak to Him. But we have been created with eternity in our hearts. Everything we're reaching for is found in the great I Am. Whether we know it or not, He is what we've spent our whole lives looking for. Our spirits hate injustice because His spirit despises it. Despite her captivity, Rapunzel blossoms riotously into the most beautiful child beneath the sun. From her limited dialogue, we are given to understand that she knows she is being forced to live half a life and does not fully comply with Dame Gothel's rigid rules in her heart. She recognizes that captivity and isolation are not love and yearns for something more. Like her mother, she finds herself staring out the window, longing for what is being kept from her. But they differ in one respect. While Rapunzel's mother covets and steals what does not belong to her, Rapunzel burns for the restoration of what has been unjustly stolen from her, the freedom that comes from perfect love. That is what all of us are searching for, to know and be known, to be loved for who we are created to be without any condemnation, and to be part of something bigger than we could ever ask or think to imagine. Those desires come from God, and He shares them as well. Valuing the uniqueness of each relationship, when Jesus does approach us, He uses the avenues and outlets we naturally come to for relief in order to give us the messages and ministry we sorely need. For me, A few of his favorite paths include stories, music, art, and nature. For the woman at the well, he used the fulfillment of a natural need, a drink of water, as a stepping stone to meet her greater spiritual need, the removal of fear and shame from her heart. For Rapunzel, it is her voice and her magnificent hair that draw this story's Christ figure, the prince, and help turn the tide in the battle to free her captive heart. One of Rapunzel's few outlets during her lonely days is singing. It is her way of expressing all the pain and frustration in her limited life and celebrating what hope she is able to hold on to. Her beautiful voice is ignored by her cold foster mother, but attracts the attention of the prince riding through the forest. Searching for the source of the sound, he finds Rapunzel trapped at the top of her tower, pouring her soul out in melody. The prince's heart is touched by her voice. He wants to climb up to her, but seeing that there is no entrance to the tower other than the single window, he reluctantly rides home, haunted by the beauty and genuineness of Rapunzel's song. Daily compelled to return to the tower, he at last sees Mother Gothel calling to Rapunzel to let down her hair. Rapunzel's hair is both a blessing and a curse. Her entire life can be summed up and accessed through it. Though fine, her hair is healthy and strong and extremely beautiful, hearkening back to the traits symbolized by the radish for which she is named. Like our heroine, her lush locks are kept bound, prevented from flying free unless they are being tossed out the window to serve as Mother Gothel's rope ladder. And even then, they are never truly released from their braids. Though lovely, Rapunzel's hair is also a tether. As long as it remains long, even if she were to escape the tower, it would give her extreme difficulty out in the world, catching on everything and becoming a snare to her. It is also reminiscent of an umbilical cord. Mother Gothel attempts to trap the girl in permanent childhood, preventing her from growing up and becoming an independent adult. That plan includes never cutting Rapunzel's hair so that she will be hobbled by it, forced to depend on the enchantress to meet her basic needs. Unless she were to cut it and climb down the tresses herself, Rapunzel's beautiful hair would prevent her from leaving her prison. Although he doesn't know all of these details, it becomes clear to the prince that the best way to reach Rapunzel is through her hair. The next evening, he calls for Rapunzel to let her locks down to him. Having never seen a man before, she is surprised and terrified when the prince hops through the window. But right away, his character puts her at ease. The prince speaks to her like a friend and tenderly admits his affection for her. Like Cinderella, Rapunzel has received more love and kindness in the last few minutes than she has in her entire lifetime from her so-called family. When he proposes to her, she doesn't hesitate to say yes, recognizing right away that he will love her more than old Dame Gothel does. The prince's love is both ardent and selfless, boldly expressing itself while giving her room to reject him. This is how God speaks to us. Whether it's a grand demonstration or a still small voice, he woos us through the windows we leave open, conveying to us his everlasting love. Jesus came that we would have life and life more abundantly, John 10:10b. But he also respects our right to free will. He will not force us to accept him or abandon our anxieties. Gentleman that he is, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Revelation 3:20. When you accept Jesus, you belong to him, having taken off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Colossians 3, 9-10. You are yourself, but better. Like a child, you are unfettered from the corrupt practices of the world and permitted to live as your true self, reflecting God's light and love. The more of your life you give to Him, the less tolerant you will grow towards the terrors, deceptions, and distractions of the enemy. After meeting the prince and accepting his proposal, Rapunzel's fears are not entirely removed. She wants to go away with her husband and begin her new life, but does not know how to get down from the tower. The question always arises, why didn't Rapunzel think to cut her hair and use it to escape? I posit that her living arrangement has conditioned Rapunzel to believe that her hair and her value are linked. The only contribution she can make to anyone else is to offer her hair as a means of transportation. If she puts a stop to that, what else does she have to give? In addition, she would have the same sensitivities about her hair as any of us. It's an expression of her identity, an outer reflection of her inner glory. If she were to lose it, in a sense, she would be losing herself. She needs more time to understand that sacrificing the soul tie to her prison is the first step to walking an abundant life. But a clear transformation is beginning to take place. In her own way, she has found the courage to leave this intolerable existence behind. Resolutely, she instructs the prince to visit her every night, bringing with him a skein of silk which she will weave into a ladder. When it is finished, she will climb down to him, and they'll ride away together on his horse. Once again, a man is scaling the witch's wall to steal her rampion. Same song, second verse, but it won't end tragically like the first. To begin with, the radish is willing to leave with the thief. The thief himself is patient and kind, giving her as much time as she needs to escape on her own terms. Weaving in fairy tales serves a similar purpose to sifting. It is an outer expression of an inner development. But instead of separating good and bad, the weaver binds together everything that is in front of them to make something new and beautiful, a symbol of connections and renewed thinking. As Rapunzel weaves the silken strands into the ladder that will enable her to embrace her new life, she has begun to mirror the process in her heart, creating a new identity from the threads of her joyful encounters with the prince. After years of abuse and neglect, she finds herself loved and wanted. She truly is worth fighting for. She is someone's wife, and soon she will be someone's mother. These thoughts take shape and repeat themselves again and again with each new binding of silk in her hands. Emboldened by love, Rapunzel is succeeding where her mother failed in her relationships. Instead of plaguing her husband and harming her children, she gives life to the prince with her words of hope and encouragement, and becomes a freedom fighter, guarding herself and her unborn twins from despair and bondage. Even while imprisoned in the tower, Rapunzel knows that her children will be born free. Inside their mother, they feel hope and expectation quickening her spirit as she works tirelessly to weave the silken ladder and secure their escape. Her dreams of a better life free of darkness and confinement are the legacy she passes to her children. Where once there was fear, manipulation, and despair, now there is courage, love, and hope. When we welcome Jesus into our lives, we go through a lifelong healing process just like this. One by one, the agreements and lies of the enemy are destroyed and replaced with truth. We put on the mind of Christ and leave our old ways of living behind, choosing to be made new in the attitude of our minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Ephesians 4, 22-24. It changes the way we think and behave, even how we speak. And the enemy doesn't like that one little bit. If we speak out of the abundance of our heart, and we want to talk about Jesus all the time because he's taken up residence there, that means we can't belong to the accuser anymore. So he'll do his best to torture us and quench our boldness by any means necessary. One fateful day, Rapunzel is so ecstatic about her marriage, children, and freedom, the very things the enchantress never wanted her to have, that she makes an offhand comment to the witch, asking her why she is so much heavier to pull into the tower than the prince. It isn't surprising from a spiritual standpoint. Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light, especially when compared to the weighty bondage Satan would lay on our backs. The prince offers liberty, while the witch demands incarceration. But even in this stone dungeon, Rapunzel has found a way to let freedom in. Enraged that her plans have failed, Dame Gothel does what Rapunzel never found the strength to do. She cuts their soul tie. Seizing the young woman by the hair and snatching up a pair of scissors, the witch hacks off Rapunzel's beautiful tresses and abandons her in the desert, leaving her with sorrow and suffering for company. We know that no one can serve two masters. But sometimes, like Rapunzel, we keep the new life inside of us under cover, hiding it as best we can from the world around us so that we are not cast aside. We don't speak about our faith in front of bosses or co-workers in case they decide to prevent us from succeeding at work. We stay quiet at the dinner table while friends and family drag God's name through the mud or exalt things above him which we should be casting down, fearful that we will ruin our relationships if our words are too harsh or churchy. But at some point, you will be brought to a crossroads in your faith, and you will have to decide for yourself that it is better to obey God than man. It's very possible that you will lose an earthly empire for the sake of a heavenly kingdom. And if so, you're in good company. I'm right here with you. We have to count whatever suffering that comes afterwards as pure joy, because we are being persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Once we are cut off from the fears we once let bind us, God will remove us from where we have been and lead us into the wilderness to prepare for the next step. You'll remember from the Goose Girl that deserts and the wilderness represent trial, training, and pruning. They are the places you go to be purged from your old life so that you can hear God more clearly and embrace your true destiny. In her heart, Rapunzel had begun to rebel against Mother Gothel's demonic stronghold over her. Now that she is no longer physically tethered to the Enchantress, Rapunzel is free to eradicate her influence from her life completely. With no one to guide her through the difficulties of motherhood, Rapunzel chooses to be for her children what both of her mothers never were for her. She willingly brings them into the world, ensuring their health and survival in the midst of turmoil. Because of her reaction to the return of the prince at the end of the story, we know that she never loses the capacity to love and hope. How does she find the strength to do this? Suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Romans 5:3-5. Rapunzel survived 14 years of neglect, abuse, and rejection. Yet she kept believing for a better future. Empowered by love, she continued to persevere, weaving her escape plan in defiance of the limited destiny that the witch would thrust upon her. Even when the Enchantress cuts her hair and casts her into the desert, Rapunzel refuses to give up. This determination has produced fruit in her life, both metaphorically and physically. Inside, she has developed a strong character and nurtured hope. Outside, she has given birth to a healthy set of twins, a boy and a girl. Notice that the story begins with a man and a woman ushering a curse into their home, like Adam and Eve. Rapunzel and the prince arrive as the second set of man and woman, Christ, the second Adam, to break the curse. This third generation born from their labors is pure and clean, untainted by the horrors and strongholds experienced by the two generations before, representing the children of promise bought from sin and death by the blood of Jesus. Because she desires freedom for herself and her family, Rapunzel endures having her hair, her outer glory, removed and is stripped of the few comforts that come with her lavish prison cell. In the name of our salvation, Jesus suffered many abuses and indignities, loving us enough to lay his life down and take it up again. John 10:18. After suffering a little while, Rapunzel too will experience the beauty of a renewed life. Her husband also endures much turmoil before complete restoration can take place. Unaware of Rapunzel's expulsion, he returns to the tower and is caught by the witch, who threatens the prince, informing him with a wicked gleam in her eye that his love is lost to him. Fleeing the dangerous enchantress and the agony of his own despair, The prince leaps from the tower into a tangle of thorns, which preserve his life in exchange for his sight. Some people argue that the prince intends to commit suicide in this moment. I disagree. The witch flat out tells him metaphorically that she will scratch his eyes out. Even if he landed cleanly on the ground, she would have taken revenge on this man for stealing her rampion. She's done it before. The thorns piercing the prince's eyes harken back to the crown of thorns thrust on Jesus' head by the Roman soldiers. Like our Savior, the prince becomes a man of sorrows, mourning the loss of his beloved and the miserable loneliness he must endure. In the wilderness segments of both Rapunzel and Her Prince, we see the complete illustration of the physical and spiritual story of Jesus' death. The suffering of the prince mirrors the physical and emotional torture Christ took on for us, while Rapunzel, raising her children in liberty from sin and death, demonstrates the spiritual victory Jesus' sacrifice secured. When the couple reunites, it is symbolic of the resurrection. When Jesus returned, his spirit was united with a glorified body, just as Rapunzel is reunited with her prince. Romans 8:11 tells us that the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit lives in someone, He flows out of them like streams of living water. John 7:38-39. We see this represented in the healing tears flowing from Rapunzel's eyes as they fall onto the prince's scarred lids and miraculously restore his sight. Rapunzel's time in the wilderness has purified her. She is now able to live up to her name and be an agent of restoration and healing. At last, their family is truly free from the influence of the enemy. The four of them journey to the prince's castle, where they are joyously welcomed and live together in happiness, a reminder to us of the happy ending we as the beloved have to look forward to with the Prince of Peace. Like our heroine, no matter how dark your life has been, hold on to the hope of your salvation. Jesus came to redeem you from the curses of generations before. Because the Son has set us free, we are free indeed. Rise above the ashes of your past and step forward into God's perfect love, fearlessly living out the destiny of who He has called you to be. Thanks for stopping by. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode and rate the show on your favorite podcast platform. If you'd like to be part of what goes on in the Fairy Tale Forest, click the Support the Show link in the notes and follow me on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Autumn Woods. And I can't wait to see you on the path next time you get lost in the woods.